Good morning, everyone. Welcome on this day of worship as we gather together. Today in our readings, we're going to be hearing about that faithful love of God that he keeps pouring out upon us as the merciful and loving God that he is, and how that in turn touches our hearts and moves us to love him back. And then it's that love that we have for this Lord who has come to rescue and delivers us that sort of shapes and changes our lives as we go about living our daily life. So that's kind of the focus of our worship today. And with that love that God has poured out upon us through his son Jesus, we are moved to love him, and in that love, we worship and praise him. And so let's join together in our first song, Sing Praise to God, the Highest Good. Shall we stand then as we join together in calling on our Lord's name? In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. But if we confess our sins, God, who is faithful and just, will forgive our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Well, let us then confess our sins to God our Father. We pray. Most merciful God, we confess that we are by nature sinful and unclean. We have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbor as ourselves. We justly deserve your present and eternal punishment. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us, forgive us, renew us, and lead us, so that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways to the glory of your holy name. Amen. In the mercy of Almighty God, Jesus Christ was given to die for us, and for his sake, God forgives us all our sins. To those who believe in Jesus Christ, he gives the power to become the children of God and bestows on them the Holy Spirit. And may the Lord, who has begun this good work in us, bring it to completion in the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. And we remain standing for our hymn of praise. As we prepare to hear our Lord's words again today, let's begin our meditation or hearing with a prayer as we speak together. Show me your ways, O Lord. Teach me your paths. Guide me in your truth and teach me, for you are God, my Savior, and my hope is in you all day long. Amen. Our Old Testament reading for this Sunday is recorded for us in Deuteronomy chapter 30. We hear God revealing through Moses that the Lord delighting again in his people over and over again. God keeps reaching out to his people to bless them, to save them, to love them, to provide for them. And for that love that God holds out to us, he wants and desires our love back to him in return. So it says, then the Lord your God will make you most prosperous in all the work of your hands and in the fruit of your womb, the young of your livestock and the crops of your hands. The Lord will again delight in you and make you prosperous, just as he delighted in your fathers. If you obey the Lord your God and keep his commands and decrees that are written in this book of the law and turn to the Lord your God, with all your heart and with all your soul. Now, what I am commanding you today is not too difficult for you or beyond your reach. It is not up in heaven so that you have to ask, who will ascend into heaven to get it and proclaim it to us so we may obey it? Nor is it beyond the sea so that you have to ask, who will cross the sea to get it and proclaim it to us so we may obey it? No. The word is very near you. It is in your mouth and in your heart so that you may obey it. This is the word of our Lord, and we respond. Normally here we have the epistle reading, but we're going to be focusing our attention for our meditation on those words of the epistle reading, so we'll come to that afterwards. But let's continue with the gospel, and this is the gospel according to Luke chapter 10. As we saw in the Old Testament reading, for the love God gives us, he wants and desires our love back to him in return. And Jesus is saying that same thing here. On one occasion, an expert in the law stood up to test Jesus. Teacher, he asked, what must I do to inherit eternal life? What is written in the law? He replied, how do you read it? He answered, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength, and with all your mind. And love your neighbor as yourself. You have answered correctly, Jesus replied. Do this and you will live. Problem is we can't do it though, can we? That's why we need Jesus. But it says he wanted to justify himself, so he asked Jesus, and who is my neighbor? In reply, Jesus said, a man was going down from Jerusalem to Jericho when he fell into the hands of robbers. They stripped him of his clothes, beat him, and went away, leaving him half dead. A priest happened to be going down the same road, and when he saw the man, he passed by on the other side. So too a Levite, when he came to the place and saw him, passed by on the other side. But a Samaritan, as he traveled, came where the man was, and when he saw him, he took pity on him. He went to him and bandaged his wounds, pouring on oil and wine. Then he put the man on his own donkey, took him to an inn, and took care of him. The next day he took out 2 silver coins and gave them to the innkeeper. Look after him, he said, and when I return, I will reimburse you for any extra expense you may have. Which of these 3 do you think was a neighbor to the man who fell into the hands of the robbers? The expert in the law replied, the one who had mercy on him. And Jesus told him, go and do likewise. This is the gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. Well, if you're talking about the love that God has and holds out to us in the world, you can't help but think about John 3:16, right? For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son, that whoever believes in him will not perish but have eternal life. So with those words ringing in our hearts, let's join in singing a hymn by that same name. Thank you. Well, grace and peace to you in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Anybody remember those commercials that were popular a number of years ago? Remember the one where someone had a glass of milk and they took a big gulp and then they got a big milk mustache over it? And do you remember what they said after that? Anybody remember? Got milk was how the commercial went. I think the portion of God's word that we're looking at today kind of does a similar thing to those commercials, but it does it in the spiritual realm. So today we're going to be looking at the epistle reading that's appointed for this Sunday from Colossians chapter 1, and we're going to look at it under the theme, you've got faith, but you've got knowledge. Now, in Colossians chapter 1, the Apostle Paul is writing to some people who already believe in Jesus as their Savior. They'd been led by the Holy Spirit to trust in Jesus, and as such, they had already received the blessings of his love and tasted the sweetness of that forgiveness that God had given them in Christ. And knowing that, then Paul begins his letter to them with a prayer of thanks. So look at Colossians chapter 1, verses 1 to 8. Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus, by the will of God and Timothy, our brother, to the holy and faithful brothers in Christ at Colossae, grace and peace to you from God our Father. We always thank God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, when we pray for you, because we have heard of your faith in Christ Jesus, and of the love that you have for all the saints, the faith and love that spring up from the hope that is stored up for you in heaven, and that you have already heard about in the word of the truth, the gospel, that has come to you. All over the world, this gospel is bearing fruit and growing, just as it has been doing among you since the day you heard it and understood God's grace in all its truth. You learned it from Epaphras, our dear fellow servant, who is a faithful minister of Christ on our behalf, and who also told us of your love in the Spirit. Now, you know, if the Apostle Paul were like most pastors, at this point, he probably would have been content with the fact that these people in Colossae were demonstrating such visible faith and love in Christ. But notice, Paul does not stop there. He goes on and he prays for them this prayer in verse 8. Here's where we kind of want to focus, or verse 9 rather. Here's where we want to focus. He says, for this reason, you know that you already believe, since the day we heard about you, we have not stopped praying for you and asking God to fill you with the knowledge of his will through all spiritual wisdom and understanding. So Paul prays that the Colossians would be filled with the knowledge of God's will. Well, what would that include? Well, such knowledge would include an understanding of what's right and what's wrong, as God reveals it to us in the Ten Commandments. It would include understanding and having knowledge about how those commandments apply to us in our daily life and how they shape and mold what we say and think and do. But more than that, such knowledge would also include a deep, intimate knowledge of Jesus as the Savior. Concerning spiritual knowledge, a Christian, an author by the name of J. Hampton Keithley III writes these words. He says, in general, the knowledge of God's will concerns the whole counsel of God's truth, as it is found in the Bible, regarding the person and work of Christ. The prophetic scripture, by its very design in the plan of God, is to unfold the beauty of the person and work of Jesus Christ. It's both Old and New Testament, as we talked about in Bible class today. He is God's perfect solution to the evils of a fallen world. Now, one might wonder why Paul would pray such a prayer for people who already believe. After all, if a person already knows and believes in Jesus as their Savior, isn't that good enough? Wouldn't that bring them under God's forgiveness and love? Wouldn't they go to heaven when they die? Well, of course, sure they would. Person who has faith in Jesus, no matter how small that faith might be or how weak that faith might be, does in fact inherit and receive all the blessings of God that are held out to us in Christ. John 3:16 assures us of that, doesn't it? When it says, God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. Notice that there's no qualifications there on that faith or belief that's mentioned here. It doesn't, you know, our faith or our belief doesn't have to be a certain size or a certain strength. It doesn't have to exist for a certain amount of time before the blessings kick in. You know, kind of like our retirement blessings that work only kick in after you've been there for 5 years. That's not how God's blessings work. No, if a person dies with true faith in Christ, they receive the blessings of eternal life that God has promised. But that doesn't mean that God wants our faith in Jesus to remain immature. He doesn't. Living that way with an immature faith is not in line with God's will for us as his blood-bought people. You see, once the Holy Spirit creates faith in us, his desire as God is for our faith in Jesus to continue to grow. That God wants us to grow in knowledge in our faith is reflected, in fact, in the gospel accounts. You ever wonder why we have 4 gospel accounts of Jesus' life? We got Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. If you've ever read through all 4 of those, you may have realized that, you know, Matthew, Mark, and Luke, they're quite similar. Read a lot of the same things in each of those books. Why is that? Well, Matthew, Mark, and Luke were the accounts of Jesus' life to help bring people to faith in Jesus as their Savior and Lord. John's gospel, however, is totally different than the other 3. And the reason for that is because the Holy Spirit had John write that gospel for people who already believed in Jesus, to help them grow in spiritual knowledge and maturity. And so the gospel of John goes deeply into the nature of Christ, into Jesus' connection with his Father in heaven, into Jesus' life-saving work, and the transforming power of Jesus' work in our life, both now and in the future to come. Now, I hate to say this, but being filled with knowledge of God's will in Christ, and not just simply believing in Jesus, that's an aspect of God's plan for our life as Christians that is sadly ignored by many of us. Kind of reminds me of my Boy Scout days. When I was in the Boy Scouts, the particular troop that I was in said that you couldn't go on any of the campouts unless you were at least first class. There were, you know, different ranks. And, well, knowing that that was the rule, you know what happened with a lot of the guys in our troop, including myself? We did all of the work that was needed to get to first class so we could go on all the campouts, and then guess what happened? We stopped. We never went on to pursue, Scout and Life and Eagle Scout, even though that would have been good for us. Has that same kind of thing happened in your spiritual life of faith? How many of us get baptized, probably for most of us as young babies? Then as we grow, we go through Sunday school class, we go through confirmation class, and then we stop. We stop spending time in God's Word, stop learning, stop growing in our knowledge and understanding of God's will as he's calling us to do. And we never go on to spiritual maturity as God desires. And so the result is, what happens? We grow older, we enter our adult years of life as a Christian, and then we've got to wrestle with adult problems and adult issues. But we've only got the spiritual knowledge and understanding of a child to cope with them. That doesn't work too well. And then amazingly, we wonder why we find ourselves floundering spiritually. It just stands to reason. Thus, we need to hear again Paul's prayer. Because this prayer we read in verse 9 wasn't just a prayer for the people in Colossae. It's a prayer for us here today. And he says, "For this reason, since the day we heard about you, we have not stopped praying for you and asking God to fill you with the knowledge of his will through all spiritual wisdom and understanding." You see, being filled with the knowledge of God's will through all spiritual wisdom and understanding, that's important for us. It's the source of all else that God desires for us, as we see from the rest of Paul's prayer. Look at verses 10 through 14 now. He goes on and he says, "And we pray this in order that you may live a life worthy of the Lord and may please him in every way, bearing fruit in every good work, growing in the knowledge of God, being strengthened with all power according to his glorious might, so that you may have great endurance and patience and joyfully giving thanks to the Father who has qualified you to share in the inheritance of the saints in the kingdom of light. For he has rescued us from the dominion of darkness and brought us into the kingdom of the Son he loves, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins." You see, being filled with a knowledge of God's will, that's what helps keep us who already believe in Jesus from falling away. It's what helps us from becoming lackluster in our faith and ineffectual in our Christian life. Quoting J. Hampton Keithley III again, he puts it this way: "The Apostle Paul felt able to commend the Colossians for their faith, love, and hope. But this was not sufficient. One's walk with Christ is not a static relationship. You see, you can't just go and then stop and stay at one point. As Christians, we can never sit still or rest on our laurels. People have a tendency to live out of their past or even their present experiences and to stick with what's comfortable for them. Since no one ever arrives at ultimate spiritual maturity in this life, there is always room for spiritual growth. If we are to continue to please the Lord, bear fruit in every good work, and genuinely grow in Christ, it is necessary that we be filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding. Why is this true? First, because love and ministry without biblical insight and the knowledge of the truth will only become a soft and cheap imitation of love, largely motivated by selfish concerns and desires. And secondly, because without biblical insight and motivation, even genuine Christian love will grow dim and die. Acts of Christian love and service will be turned into drudgery and sour resignation if they are present at all." So see, faith obviously is important to be saved, but knowledge and understanding is also important for us to live in that faith. So, okay, we got faith. The Lord also wants us to have knowledge. But how do you get knowledge? Well, it's quite simple, really. It's a matter of getting into God's word that the Holy Spirit has blessed us with, and doing so in a number of different ways. First, you need to simply read through the Bible from cover to cover over time and get to know what's in there. getting, you might say, the breadth of all that the scriptures have to say. That's one important way to study the scriptures, but not the only way that needs to be done. Secondly, you also have to get into the Bible in depth. You might say chewing on it, meditating deeply upon what you're reading there. What is it? What does the word say? What does this word of God mean? How does that apply to me in my Christian faith and in my daily Christian life? And in fact, this is exactly what we seek to do every time we have adult Bible instruction, before church on Sunday, after church on Sunday, and Tuesday mornings. We're taking that word of God and really chewing on it, going deep into it, which we don't often get a chance to do. That's important too. If you just read through it but never chew it, it's like going to a restaurant and looking at the food that's on your plate, but never taking it into your mouth and digesting it. Thirdly, growing in knowledge of God's will includes, you might say, making a commitment to join together weekly for worship, as God commands us to do as his people. Now, why do I say that? There have been many times that people have come up to me and said, "Hey, Pastor, why don't you preach on this or that topic?" And then they name something that's kind of mulling around in their heads that they'd like to know about. Actually, a lot of times when I hear people say that, I kind of chuckle, because I know that I've preached on that topic before, but you know what the problem was? They just weren't there in church that Sunday to hear it. And so they missed it. So now that we know how to grow in knowledge, I guess you could say one other thing needs to be said. You know, studying God's word and growing in Christian knowledge, it takes time. It also takes effort and work. And because it takes effort, we're not often willing to do it, but because it takes effort for us to grow in knowledge and understanding, you might say it also takes Jesus. Think about it like this. What is it that moves a young teen to fritter away so many hours thinking about a new boyfriend or girlfriend? Or what is it that moves a guy to spend hours cleaning and waxing his car before he picks up a girl for a date? Or a girl to spend hours in front of the mirror primping to get ready for that date, even though all of that work on either side is a real pain? What is it that moves us to spend so much money when we finally go on that date? It's love, isn't it? Love for that other person is what moves us to go through all of that work and do all those crazy things. Well, do you know that love is the key when it comes to growing in our knowledge of God's will too? Not our love, but the love that Jesus has for us as our Savior and God. You know, when the grace of God overwhelms your soul, that grace of God which longs for you to be with him forever, that grace of God that moved the Father to send his Son Jesus to be your Savior, when that grace of God and that love that Jesus has for you engulfs your spirit, that love that Jesus has for you that held him to his saving task even to the bitter end as he laid down his life on the cross for you, when that sacrifice that Jesus made for you touches your heart and you realize the depth of what Jesus suffered as he bore the agony of hell's punishment in your place so that you might be forgiven. When that love of Jesus Christ as your Savior and God touches you like that, then no one will have to tell you to learn more about Jesus or to grow in your knowledge of him as your Savior. No one will have to force you to get your Bibles down off the shelf and read them for yourself at home and in worship and in Bible class. Now, when Christ's love really sinks home like that, you will do that on your own. For learning about someone you love, growing in your knowledge of someone you care for, that's not a burden or a chore. It's something you don't have to do. It's something you'll want to do. It's something that's truly a joy. And now, may growing in your knowledge of God's will in Christ be ever such a joy for you. Amen. And now may the peace of knowing all that Jesus has done for us as our Savior, not just guard and keep our hearts and minds in Him so we continue to believe, but may that love that Jesus has for us move us to love Him in return and grow in our knowledge and understanding of His will through His Word. Amen. Well, having heard our Lord's word, let's join together as we confess our faith, hearing that word, letting it touch our hearts, and then speaking forth that word gladly and filled with joy as together we say, I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and of all things visible and invisible, and in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of His Father before all worlds, God of God, light of light, very God of very God, begotten, not made, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made, who for us men and for our salvation came down from heaven, and was incarnate by the Holy Spirit of the Virgin Mary, and was made man, and was crucified also for us under Pontius Pilate. He suffered and was buried, and the third day He rose again according to the Scriptures, and descended into heaven, and sits at the right hand of the Father. And He will come again with glory to judge both the living and the dead, whose kingdom will have no end. And I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord and giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son together is worshiped and glorified, who spoke by the prophets. And I believe in one holy Christian and apostolic church. I acknowledge one baptism for the remission of sins, and I look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. And we receive now our offering. Shall we stand now and join our hearts together in prayer? Lord Jesus, today we gather again for worship and remember the great love that You have for us. As You followed Your Father's will, were born of a virgin, came into this world, lived Your perfect life, and then willingly and gladly laid down that life for us on a cross, bearing the punishment that our sins deserve, so that in You we might have and receive forgiveness for everything wrong that we've done. You are indeed a great Savior, and as we hear that message and promise of forgiveness in your name that's touched our hearts and moved us to believe in you, to put our faith in you, to rely upon you to do something for us that we can't do for ourselves, and that's save us. As your love touches us, may our hearts be touched with an ever greater love for you. Because the greater our love for you is, the more tightly we cling to you in faith, and the more willing we will be to spend the time and make that effort to grow in our knowledge and understanding of your will, to read your word, not just once in a while, but to daily be into it, to study it, and to continue to grow into that spiritual maturity that's so vitally important for us, especially as we become adults and have to wrestle with so many hard issues and problems and face so many troubles in this world, Lord. Help us grow in our knowledge, to help us stay in our faith. Stir in us a new commitment for that, beginning today, Lord, that we make use of every chance and opportunity that we get. And that as we grow in our knowledge, we just don't keep that to ourselves, but we use that to try and help others grow in their knowledge and understanding, whether that's children in Sunday school or youth in youth group or just family members and friends. Help us to share that knowledge so that they too might grow in the knowledge and understanding of your will for them in their lives. We ask all these things, trusting in your name, Jesus. And we hear you teaching us in your word how to pray, not just how to do it, but even what to say. And as we grow in that knowledge of prayer, that helps shape our prayers so that they're ever more in line with your will. And so, with that knowledge of your will today, we pray as you have taught us and say, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. It is truly good, right, and beneficial for us at all times and in every place to give thanks to you, Almighty Heavenly Father. But especially we give you thanks for the love that you send to us and that you give to us through your Son, Jesus, who laid down his life on the cross as a ransom sacrifice to deliver us and bring us back into fellowship with you. Thankful for all that you have done and accomplished for us. We laud and magnify your name evermore, praising you and sing. Well, as Jesus gathered with his disciples in that upper room just shortly before he was put to death on the cross, he was helping them grow in their knowledge and understanding of God's will, so their faith in him as the Savior would mature. And then on that night in which he was betrayed, Jesus took bread, and when he'd given thanks, he broke it, gave it to his disciples, and said, Take and eat. This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. In the same way also, he took the cup after supper, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, and he said, Drink from it, for this cup is the new covenant in my blood, which I shed for you for the forgiveness of all of your sins. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. We continue with our hymn of assurance. Thank you. May the Holy Spirit watch over you and bless you each in your faith. Yeah, it looks nice. Take and eat. This is the very... Having received the Lord's Supper, let's join together now in our hymn of thanks. faith in Christ, then, we live under God's forgiveness and leave now with his blessings. And one of those blessings is that glorious word that he's given us to be filled up with, to grow in the knowledge and understanding of God's will. And as we seek to do that, the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord look upon you with favor and give you peace. Amen. We close with our final hymn.